Hello and welcome to the 92nd edition of the GoMeAndGreen.com Barbershop Podcast. This is Evan.
This is Harry.
And we are here to talk North Texas football. Harry, I will tell you one thing. I had a great time in Miami.
What a great destination. I mean, that's got to be one of my top five all-time Sunbelt destinations, maybe top three. I mean, there have been more exciting football games for us, but honestly, there has not been a better place to hang out than Miami, South Beach. I mean, great seafood. It was just a fantastic trip, like I said, other than the actual performance on the field of the football team.
Yeah, I will say this. Their stadium sucked. There's no way around it.
It's a high school stadium.
It really was. It was nothing to write home about. I did like their food selection. The whole freaking game, you smelt grilled onions because they had those Cuban-inspired vendor creations were really good.
And the chicken on the stick, you know.
Yeah, chicken on the stick.
And it was rainy, you know, and it was wet. And so it was really nice to get some hot food on the sidelines.
Sunny Miami, my ass. It rained every afternoon we were there. I tell you one thing, though. The game was a disappointment, and we'll, of course, get into that. But a few things you got to take away from it. If we only played the second through fourth quarter, we would have won.
Oh, I know. I mean, there were four mistakes in that game in the first quarter that the cardinal errors that absolutely against a program like FIU, who, by the way, I think is going to beat Louisville and is going to really, I think, shock and surprise some people this year with their abilities and their football team. But, you know, when you had the short kickoff in the rain, of course, Hilton returns it a country mile. You know, they're putting points on the board way too fast. The team sort of looked like they were in shock midway through the first quarter, and you knew that we were in trouble at that point. I think the wet field hurt them a little bit too. They weren't used to playing. I mean, we've been in this dry Texas heat, you know, for seems like 6 months now. It was just a really tough first quarter, and the team really, you know, was out of the ball game after the first quarter was over, and there's not much you can do other than keep fighting. And I think they did that to a certain extent. McCarney said the same thing. But against a team like FIU, you can't afford to make those kind of mistakes that early in the game.
Yeah, I felt like they were a really good team. And obviously, it's the first game of the season. We were down. We felt a lot of people were feeling really down after the game. But, man, they had a serious run back. They had some really hot plays that put us, you know, behind the eight ball. You and I were lucky enough to be on the sideline to get down there and see. And one of the things I saw, a lot of people were saying they look lost before the game started. I didn't really think before the game started they looked lost. I felt like once the game started, they were already in a hole. And they were confused. There was a deer in the headlights. And they had to settle down, and they just couldn't do it. And FIU kept coming up with the big plays, and it just kind of rattled them even more. And I think you had some young players, and inexperienced players just couldn't put it together quick enough to settle down. And that's we were behind it, and it's just tough to overcome that.
It's a tough way to start the season. It's not what we had hoped for, but the reality of it is that this was not a very good program that McCarney inherited. And I'll tell you something else. You know, say what you want to about Riley Dodge. Riley Dodge helped us be as competitive as we were at the tail end of last season. And when we played Kansas State, I saw people on the board keep saying, well, the way we played Kansas State, you know, we're going to have a good – no. I mean,
no, that was
Riley Dodge was a running threat that took the pressure off of Lance Dunbar. The guys we have right now, they've got potential, they've got some talent, but they're not running quarterbacks. And that is allowing teams to focus in on Lance. And, I mean, Lance is a fantastic player. But, you know, he cannot do it by himself. And there were plenty of times in that game, and you saw it with me, the minute Lance has the ball in his hands, there's already a defender trying to tackle him.
They had so many guys on the line. They were playing so up on the ball. They knew we were going to get there. Their defense was quick. And I think FIU is going to have a great season. Just like you said, I can't wait to see him play Louisville. That's going to be a
– Well, and Central Florida is another big game. I mean, they've got some great opportunities. And it's not too tough a schedule to where these guys couldn't have an amazing record by the time – you know, top 25 is not out of the realm of possibility. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, they looked really good. What can you say about T.Y. Hilton?
He's an NFL-caliber talent. I mean, he was fun to watch.
Simply amazing, except for the time when he fumbled the ball into Powers' hands, and
well,
Powers caught it that time.
And I got to give credit where credit's due. Powers got a gift and got the touchdown and all the glory. Who caused the fumble? It's my boy Mike Stakovic. I mean, that
Stakovic.
Yeah,
very
he
nice.
Put his head, his helmet on that ball. It popped right into Andrew Powers' hands, and Powers off to the races to score a touchdown. But thank goodness for a couple of those plays like that, because honestly, you know, they shut our offense out. I mean, we didn't put a point on the board.
There was no doubt. The offense, and, you know, towards the end of the game, you were hoping we would drive down and could do something. Couldn't put it together. They really needed that to help kind of pick them up and feel like something's different. But, you know, Lance, we were hoping for a big game, but we knew they were going to key on him. I thought we'd see more trickery. I thought we'd see more reverses or stuff like that. I just didn't think that, you know, for closing practices, I guess we were expecting to see some shock and awe, and we really didn't see any of that. It was pretty much what we thought. I'd say that this game was probably, for a lot of people, the most disappointing as far as the offensive play calling.
Well, I think they wanted to see what the offense can do. I think the reality of it was by the time that they would have changed the game plan, it was not a ball game anymore. Let's be honest. So do you pull out your bag of tricks when you're down, you know, 40 points? I don't think so. But yeah, I think Canales has had a little bit of criticism about the play calling. But again, this is a different team. Yes, there are some players coming back, but you got a brand new quarterback, guy that's only played in a couple of games, you know, in his whole career, in Derek Thompson. You know, he's obviously got some talent, but he was on a learning curve in that game. And so I don't think you can get too fancy with what you do right now with Derek. You need to bring him along a little slower so he can start to grasp the speed and the way that this game goes. So I think that's a part of it. You got new players in place. Hopefully we'll see Coach Canales really break it open a little bit more against U of H, because, you know, we're probably going to need some big plays against U of H.
Yeah, I think a lot of us had really hoping that U of H wouldn't be as good as everybody had anticipated. But after watching them against UCLA, I know that you and I texted, and I was talking to Rob. I mean, it was it's going to be a tough game. UH has a good team, and there's no doubt that we've got our hands full. We will have the emotional being at home in a new stadium, and there will be a lot of fans there. But you can't get past the fact that they're just damn good.
They're damn good, and Case Keenum is as good a quarterback as I've seen in a long, long time. Because I'll be honest with you, UCLA had more talent than U of H does. They're in the Pac-10. They got all these great, you know, they've got all these, this tradition, all these players that they recruit. But I'm telling you, the difference maker was Case Keenum. And there were questions about how he would recover from the major injury that he suffered last year. And I'm here to tell you, he is 110%. And the guy just makes great decisions. I mean, he just runs that offense so well. It's going to be a real challenge for us. But you're right. We got emotion on our side. We need some help. And hey, you look at UH's University of Houston's track record, you know, they'll come out and have some great games, and then sometimes they'll stumble, and you just got to hope that the stumbling occurs on Saturday night in Denton.
All right, before we talk about what's going on with this week's game, and we're going to have Brian Bethea and Eric Capper on to answer some questions, talk about the game experience this week. I just want to close saying, you know, anybody was concerned about having these Florida schools in the Sun Belt or road trips. Next time we play Florida International or Florida Atlantic, this is the road trip to go.
It is awesome.
It was awesome. We had a great time. Went down to South Beach. Valley Boy's on here. We met him. All About UNT, Tony.
Joe.
Tony didn't make it. Rob. I'm looking at all the people that I'm reading who are on here. There's a lot of people there. It was a great time. Great staying at the team hotel. It was a really great deal. It was a great trip. Met a lot of the players' parents, and it was fun.
Great. It was a good turnout for a road game. Yeah. We had a good group of people, and it's just unfortunate that the game didn't turn out a little bit better for us. But that's going to change. I mean, we're going to see improvement in this program as time goes on, and maybe some people that used to take road trips that haven't lately will start to come back and do it again.
Yeah, I think so. So let's talk about this week. What's your prediction, Harry?
Put me on the spot here, aren't you?
Yes, I am. I'm
going to be honest with you. There's not a bigger green homer out there, but I got to tell you, this is going to be a tall order for us. I got to feel that emotion may carry us through maybe the first quarter, but the size and speed that we're going to be dealing with Houston is going to be really difficult. And I think they're a better team than FIU, to be honest with you, and that's scary because FIU is a pretty darn good team. The difference is Case Keenum. I think Case Keenum is just one of the – one of the best quarterbacks in the country, if not the best quarterback.
And what kind of pass rush did we have last week?
Not much.
Exactly. So it's going to be a tough game. We've got an uphill battle. So
we should probably get Mr. Capper and Mr.
Yeah, let's go ahead and get them on the phones. You guys want to go ahead and line up some. We're going to pause it for just a second while we get them on the phone. Line up some questions about the game time. I know everybody wants to know is how many tickets have been sold. You know, they never say exactly how many, but we'll mention that and see what they say. But we're also going to talk to them about some of the concerns they have this week, some things we need to make sure that the fans get out there. What time can people start showing up? What time should people start showing up? They put all this stuff together and send it out to the to everybody in their packet, their season ticket packet. Right. But, you know, things have changed since then. So we're going to discuss that. So we're going to pause the Ustream web, or you can just mute it. And we're going to get them on the phone, and we will be back in a second. So start lining up your questions for them. Thanks. Is that you with text messenger, man? Did you pause it?
I pressed the audio broadcast. I took the check off the box.
In more hours than anybody on this campus over the past 6 months or so, and he's burning the midnight oil every night and trying to make sure everything's ready to go for this weekend. We're excited. We couldn't be more excited about everything that's going on, despite the disappointing loss that we all suffered last week at FIU. We still think that we have a great chance to make great improvement between week one and week two, and we're really excited with the feedback and the turnout that we've had and the demand for tickets that we've had, especially coming off that loss going into this first home game at Apogee Stadium. We think it's going to be very close to a sellout, and we hope we still hope we can get there. But we think we're going to definitely give that all-time record, attendance record, a good run for the money. So we're excited. We hope everybody else is excited, and we're here to answer any questions that we can.
All right, for those of you that were just joining us here, we're talking to Eric Capper, the SID at the University of North Texas, and also with him is Brian Bethea. Brian's the first time with us on here, who's the Senior Associate Athletic Director with Facilities and Logistics. Brian, is that still your title now? Okay.
Good deal.
This is probably the most challenging year you've had since you've been here with this the opening of the new stadium. Is that correct?
Yeah, I would say it's actually probably been the most challenging 3 or 4 years.
Well,
it's been that long of a process. You know, the construction being 18 months and the planning process probably approximately being another 18 months. And then the pre-planning prior to the planning process. So there's just been a long time coming. It's really exciting. My wife is an alum, and she's extremely excited, so I can only imagine, you know, everybody out there, the different folks that are looking forward to their first experience at Apogee Stadium.
Now, Brian, let me just make sure a lot of people don't understand. You were kind of, correct me if I'm wrong, but you were the kind of the liaison between the athletic department and the construction design and everything. Is that correct?
That's correct. We had a lot of folks that participated in weekly meetings for the last couple of years to basically get through the planning, get through the engineering, and then get into the construction and through construction. And of course, the university has their representatives at the table, and the athletic department had their representative at the table. We had participation from a lot of athletic department staff throughout the process, but from a day-to-day standpoint, it was an all day, all night kind of project for myself.
Brian, obviously, you know, this is an exciting time for North Texas fans with the new Apogee Stadium. Can you give people kind of a feel for what to expect as far as the whole tailgating experience? I know there's been a lot of good materials that have gone out there. I know about the hill. I know that's a new facet to tailgating, but in terms of coming from the Fouts tailgating experience to the Apogee Stadium Mean Green Village experience, can you give us kind of a little capsule on that?
I would say probably the biggest change is going to be that it should be a little bit cooler to tailgate here at Apogee Stadium. We're gonna, you know, there was a ton of asphalt around Fouts Field, and here at Apogee Stadium there's tons of grass, and, you know, being able to snuggle up to your favorite tree on game day and you know, bring out the radio and listen to, you know, pregame show or whatever you might be doing on the radio and whatnot like that. I think it's going to lend itself to probably a little bit more comfort. I don't get to tailgate very much, but I would say that that's probably my preference, you know, tailgate out on the grass and kind of enjoy the green space, throw the frisbee, that kind of thing. And I think it'll be really good, you know, let the kids loose, let them run around, kind of wear them out a little bit, get them ready for the game. So I think that's probably the biggest difference is just tons more green space to use, tons more to take advantage of from that standpoint.
Question on generators is, you know, are generators something that you would recommend or should people stay away from them? I know that's when looking at the Grove, which has been compared to the Hill at Southern Miss, that the generator is kind of a mandatory component of a lot of the tailgating there. Any thoughts on the generator?
You know, I think that's a personal preference. I'm more of a naturalist and never really have needed a tailgate with a generator myself. But there are some folks that definitely like to plug the satellite in and throw the TV up and enjoy the experience that way. So I think it's more of a personal preference issue. It's not an issue for us, really. The biggest thing for us that we're trying to do is basically keep the aisles clear for traffic and safety purposes. So as long as we're not blocking any traffic, that would be fine by us.
So on the Hill area there, I mean, I was going through the information you guys sent out with
Can you repeat that question, Evan?
I was reading the information that you guys sent out with the season tickets and everything. As far as the Hill goes, is it going to be kind of sectioned off so there will be designated aisles? I mean, is it going to spray on the grass or anything, or is it just going to be kind of a free-for-all out there? How's that set up?
Yeah, it'll be a free-for-all, basically first come, first serve. The biggest paths are basically the hardscape that's on that area will be the only things you can't block. So.
Okay.
If there's a sidewalk or a path of any kind, basically those would be the only areas that will be prohibited from setting up camp and whatnot like that.
Now we do have, there are a couple of the local adult beverage companies here in town have actually spoken for some space over there. So they will have a large area, both Miller Coors and the Budweiser folks have a section that they will be using for every game day. One is inside that circle drive, and another one a little bit farther back by the pond. So those sections will be, those areas will be sectioned off for them specifically. They'll be serving beer and food and whatever else they do there. But beyond that, everything is pretty much just a free-for-all wherever anybody wants to go.
Okay, so let's talk about timing, you know, because we got some hardcores that I know are planning to go out there the night before. Other people are talking about going early on Saturday. Is there an appropriate time, are there any guidelines about when you would like the fans to show up to mark their spot, so to speak, there?
More importantly, is there a time you don't want them to show up?
Well, to be honest with you, the way I understand the campus guidelines for tailgating is not allowed until basically the morning of the game. So our parking lot, our normal procedures is to open our parking lots at 8 a.m. And that's, I guess you could say, the official kickoff for when tailgating could start. So that's what we use as a guide as far as publications and whatnot like that.
But to go on to what Brian has said, we do know that people are going to be there the night before, and especially in the parking lot area, and we're not going to prohibit that. We just cautioned that we're not going to have active security, so on and so forth in those areas. So, unfortunately, you know, you still assume a bit of a risk when you're doing that. We're not going to disallow or not allow people to come and park in those areas overnight if they want to. I know there's some folks on your message board that have said that they're going to do that. We're not going to not allow that. From a liability standpoint, we're not going to have a lot. Actually, we're not going to have any security there to make sure that stuff doesn't, you know, walk away or anything happen the night before.
Well, you guys might want to rethink that when you see some of the people that are going to do it. Just kidding. I'm just kidding. They're good fans. Well, a lot of people are really excited about this. I mean, obviously, this is, and this has been said before, this is a once in a generation. I mean, this is once in a lifetime for a lot of people, a new stadium. I mean, it's a big deal. A lot of people want to be there. Going into that, I know you had a new process for the student tickets. Had to pick them up. How is that going? I mean, I know, Eric, you tweeted and it got retweeted and everybody was talking about how students had been coming out. It seemed like at a pretty good clip to get those tickets. Did you see the same thing today, and is it probably going to increase towards the end of the week?
Yeah, you know, it's been crazy the last 2 days. I know the first day they did right at or just under 3,000 student, they gave basically away 3,000 tickets the first day, and then the last time I checked today was at noon when I walked over to the ticket office and talked to them, and they had already done 1,600 or 1,700 at noon today. So it's actually exceeded what we have expected for the first couple days. I was actually a proponent when we sat in these meetings a month or so ago and tried to fine-tune how we're going to do this. I was a proponent to actually start this process earlier with students and make it as easy for them as possible, do more pickup points on campus, and just because of the learning curve, make it as easy for them as possible. But I would have never guessed that we would have gone through that many, as many as we have, as quickly as we have. So I honestly think that we will push the 8,000 number that we have kind of allotted for students. And I'd be surprised if it doesn't continue the steady pace. And, you know, by later in the week, we might have to figure out what we're going to do if we have a demand greater than 8,000.
Well, and that was the question that came up. I mean, what happens if that demand hits 8,000? Are they going to just be SOL?
Or luckily, our athletic director and our president have said that we're not going to turn students away. So the 8,000 number is basically the number that we have allowed for people on the east stands, for students on the east stands. But what we will do if, for example, if we get to Friday morning and we've already sold 7,900, we're going to make some of the general admission stands in the wing zone, we're going to make those student tickets. So we have some fluctuation. We have some leeway built into what we have ticket-wise, that we can allot more tickets to students if need be. And that's what we'll do. And the reality is, you know, I would love to get to a point where, you know, we've sold every single ticket for every single seat in the lower bowl, and we have to do standing room only. And if that's what we have to do, then that's what we'll have to do. You know, luckily, because of the stadium the way it is, there's some plaza spaces in the corners of the end zone that we can do that. But we're not going to turn any students away. No students will ever have to worry about, you know, once we get to that 8,000 number, that they're going to be turned away at the gate. And we know, and you guys know this as well as a lot of people do that have been around this place for a long time, students are traditionally really late at coming to pick up tickets here. So we expect a huge push on Saturday. So if we're, you know, if we're at 5, 6, 7,000 by Friday, we think we're going to get to that 8,000 and probably go beyond it.
Well, that's great to hear. I know the fans are really excited about that. They want the students involved. You know, I hope everybody's harp skips a beat when the cannons fired for the first time. It's going to be a great experience. Any concerns? I know y'all are coming up there. Any concerns, whether it's what direction people are coming or anything else, some helpful tips or hints that you can think of as far as the tailgating or a parking situation that you can think of that probably wouldn't put on the original August flyer that went out?
I'm going to let Brian talk to it, but my suggestion is come early. Come early. I'll let Brian address it a little bit more, but, you know, we can't educate people enough in that it's a different animal, and it's not necessarily parking spaces, because Brian will tell you that we actually have more parking spaces on this side of the highway than we did on the other thing. The thing that people don't understand is when you go to Fouts Field, you saw a huge space of, like he said, nothing but asphalt around the stadium. And that's pretty intimidating. When you look at Apogee Stadium, you don't see that. You don't see that huge parking lot. But the reality is we actually have more spaces over here than we did over there. It's just a little bit compartmentalized. It's not all in one area. It's kind of spread out over some different areas. But the problem is really the ingress and the egress. It's the access to those areas that is a little bit more difficult on this side of the road than it is on the other side of the road. So with that, I'll let Brian speak to it a little bit more.
I would just say that what Capper said is pretty much on par. The come early, stay late,
I guess, phrase that has been used around here for a long time, probably holds true in this facility more than it has over at Fouts. The take advantage of this awesome weather that it looks like we're going to have on game day.
Yeah, we lucked
out. Come out early and enjoy the fanfare and the festivities.
I imagine.
Unfortunately, those people who are really used to leaving the house 15 minutes before kickoff and driving up and pulling in the old blue parking lot over there and making the two-minute walk to the gate, it's probably not going to happen this year. So we really encourage people, even when you don't think that, I mean, you think that you're leaving too early, you're really not leaving too early. I don't think there is anything as leaving too early to come to this game.
Well, I think
and one other element, you know, a lot of times when we say come early, a lot of folks think of that just as a parking or a traffic standpoint, but it's the same thing at the gates. We can move a ton of folks through the gates and very quickly. And those of you who may or may not have seen Gate 9 at Fouts Field,
oh my gosh,
to the bus stop occasionally, but that line was moving extremely fast. But it was because people waited to the last minute to get into the facility. So again, just the come early thing goes for the parking and the traffic. It also goes for getting into the stadium. Come watch some of the pregame. Watch the Green Brigade on the field. Watch a little bit of the pregame video board stuff that's going on. A lot of work goes into all that. You know, again, I call it festivity, but it means it goes for both getting in the stadium and for the traffic.
And that, somebody just asked a question. It was an excellent question. What time will the gates open for those? I mean, a lot of people will be seeing the stadium for the first time. They want to walk around. In part,
they want to kiss. They want to kiss the ground and cry.
They want to make sure it's real. They want to touch it, taste it.
It'll be 4:30.
So 4:30 is when actually the gates will open. And what time does everybody need to know that the pregame show and kissing the baby stuff start happening?
I would say that, and I honestly, I've been so bogged down with some other details, have not been too much on the minute-to-minute of the pregame. But from previous experiences, if you're in approximately 20 minutes before kick, you'll typically catch the band and any type of presentations. But if you wanted to say 30 minutes on the safe side to make sure you have a chance to get your 100% beef hot dog and your large Mr. Pibb, and get to your seat, then probably that might be a safer bet. So 20 to 30 minutes, I would say, is a probably good number to catch some of the pregame activities. And I believe there are a few different procedural and ceremonial things that are scheduled to occur.
The Mean Green Walk? Where is that going to be and what time?
That is typically 2 hours prior to kick, and that will come from the hill down the circle drive, past the east gate, and then towards the athletic center. So
excellent.
Basically work east to west, starting at the hill and going to the athletic center.
So if you're on the hill, you don't even have to go anywhere for the march, because they're going to go right by you.
It should pass right by the hill. Basically, just east of where the circle drive is approximately where that'll start.
Perfect.
And if you want to drop stuff off for the hill, the can you give us, and I know you've explained it, but just for everyone that's here, what's the best way if you've got something that you need to drop off, a tent or grill or whatever else?
Probably two different possibilities that are out there at this point. One of which is if you're parking in the parking lot east of Victory Hall, you can obviously get there early, park as close to the hill as you want, and bring your stuff up that way. And the other option that we're providing is a drop-off area, which is the old Radisson parking lot off the service road. And that lot for drop-off closes 4 hours and 30 minutes prior to kick. And that is a pedestrian safety issue that we're working on, because we've got the pedestrian walkway over North Texas Boulevard. So trying to eliminate some of that traffic on the service road when we get close to 4 hours prior to kick, which is when our normal pedestrian traffic starts to increase. So that's where we're looking to cut off that drop off.
So if you can get there by 1:30, you can drop off your stuff there right there on the service road over by the Radisson, right? Or in the parking lot.
1:30 is kind of the key time that people need to keep in mind here. It's a great point, because up until 4.5 hours prior to kick, so 1:30 in this particular case, Traffic will not be impeded much at all around the stadium. I mean, the traffic flow and the road closures and that kind of stuff don't happen until that 1:30 time. So you can pretty much go anywhere you want around the stadium at up until 1:30. 1:30 is when the police department actually goes into the road closures and starts the traffic flow pattern, and that's when it becomes a little bit more difficult. So we're encouraging people to keep that 1:30 time in mind when they are trying to do stuff. We don't want people to show up at 2 and be mad at us because they want to go drop stuff off, you know, at the Radisson parking lot and park it down the hill or put it on the hill. So again, the 1:30 time is a time that's key for everybody to keep in mind, unless of course you're going to that parking lot that Brian talked about, which is the red and blue parking lot behind Victory Hall, and then of course you can get in there anytime. But again, those premium spots in that lot are going to be along the outside edges where people can park along the grass, and those are going to fill up pretty fast. I would guess those will be gone long before 1:30.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people are going to make a day of it, and that's the thing. I mean, just because you don't get there for 1:30, you could still park in their lots and haul your stuff, but
absolutely,
for ease of use, it's 1:30. And, you know, setting that time now for in the future, I mean, I know a lot of people are really planning to go to the Indiana game too, so, I mean, this is just going to – you know, there's going to be a lot of bumps. This is the first time anybody's done it.
There definitely are
just
a lot of bumps.
Just, you know, you can't make it a perfect storm. Now, a lot has been made, and we talked to RV about this last time we talked to him, but it's really not that much of a walk to get from the Fouts parking lot to the new stadium.
No, our marketing folks and promotions folks, you know, they're charged a lot with the marketing of this whole tailgating stuff, and to help kind of dispel some of the bad rumors and bad information that was out there and minimize the worry that people had from the Fouts Field lot, they actually physically went and walked it themselves at a very leisurely pace, and it took them 10 minutes. So with that in mind, you know, we like to tell people there's not a lot of Division I or FBS college football games that you can go to in America that you're not going to park, that you're not going to pay for parking and expect a 10-minute walk. For those of you who have been to some of the bigger places we've gone to, the Clemsons, the Alabamas, the LSUs, for example, you're golden if you can get within 10 minutes of the stadium. Most of the time, it's a 20, 30-minute walk from the stadium from wherever you park. So, yeah, it's not ideal from a lot of respects, and we will welcome the day that we get the bridge across the highway. But the reality is a 10-minute walk is not bad, especially when the weather's going to be as nice as it's expected to be.
I had a question as far as after the game. So the game's over. We just had a huge upset over University of Houston. Everyone's ecstatic. Fireworks show. Are you saying that people should jump right in their cars and try to – because you're talking about getting in and out is the biggest challenge. Do you think it would be better to sit and listen to the radio show for a while? I mean, what any advice for people after the game?
I would say it really just depends on, again, the personal preference. My personal preference is to sit around and possibly have a refreshing beverage and listen to the post-game show and then, you know, get on my way, let the main crowd get out, and then cycle out at my own pace. But to each his own, you know, it's sometimes it's good to sit around and celebrate and talk after the game. It's, you know, after any event, of course, there's going to be a little bit of a bottleneck. Everybody's typically leaving at the same time. So do you want to wait in line to get out the mouth of the lot, or do you want to wait and listen to the radio and hang out and kind of enjoy folks and then go out from there? So, again, personal preference on that side.
And, Harry, anybody who wants to wait around, I'd be more than willing to let people come up to the press box and run stats and make copies for all the media up there if they want to hang around for about an hour.
Yeah, you got plenty of work for them to do, don't you, Eric?
I got plenty of work.
So one of the things, guys, that a lot of people were asking about earlier, I went up to the stadium and looked at the new the store and everything, and I know that a lot of people had been cleaning that store out. Tell us what where people can buy merchandise. Is it going to be loaded up? Is it just going to be at the two locations? Tell us exactly what people, because a lot of people are loving the new look of the shirts. They see the Apogee Stadium shirts.
There are a minimum of 3 locations within the stadium where merchandise will be available. That's just inside the stadium. And there is at least one outside the stadium that I'm aware of. There may be more than one, but I just don't recall off the top of my head. And it'll be in that hill area, Circle Drive area, and I know they're working on actually getting all that set up in the next day or two.
Can you give us, are there any new concessionaires or anything food-wise that's different than Fouts? Obviously, we got word that the kettle corn guy was going to be back, and the entire Mean Green Nation breathed a huge sigh of relief.
Yeah, that was a coup for you guys. Good job.
We we do have some additional vendors. I'll name a few that pop off the top of my head in no particular order, so don't hit me on that. I believe Metzler's Barbecue, Rudy's Barbecue, Dippin' Dots, the DRS, which is our frozen treats funnel cake guy, he's back. In addition to our normal concessions items, and probably one of the, I guess the probably the latest agreement that was just signed was with Sonic. And that'll probably interested to see how that works out for the fans, and I believe they're going to be working with us on the family fun plan or the family fun pack, so that when somebody does buy the family fun pack, they'll get a Sonic item, a Sonic drink, and then their ticket.
Tater tots with cheese? Are you kidding me? How great would that be in the stands? No, that'll be cool. Harry?
And I don't know if you guys can answer this, but we're getting a million questions about the basketball schedule. Eric, can you even address that? If not, it's okay, but I had to ask her, do these guys were going to lynch me?
I know it's very, very close. The last I heard was late last week that they were trying to finalize one game and just work out the contract details. I'd be surprised if we didn't know something, if we didn't weren't able to release it by the end of this week or early next week.
Okay, that's good. Hey, Eric, let me ask you another thing about this. From your position, interest in this game. I mean, obviously, Harry and I got the feeling you guys are you're getting a lot of interest from a lot of media outlets that want to cover this. I mean, is it pretty crazy?
I was just, Brian and I were just talking before I came in here. We knew we were going to have a lot of interest for this game just because it's, you know, the first game and that kind of stuff. And you hope some of that interest maintains or sustains throughout the year. But the press box has the ability to seat 60 people if we kind of cram them in. Its current configuration that we have up there right now is we've have 45 seats in there because we want to give people a little extra space. But when I came in here tonight to talk to Brian, I said, Brian, I have right now I'm at 45 people media requests for this weekend. So I don't have any seats unless we add more. So we can either make it a little tighter and add more, which we'll probably have to do. The other good thing is we have three radio booths, so we have another booth that's not being used for this particular game, so I can put some auxiliary people down in that radio booth if I need to do that and still give people the more space that they have in the press box right now. But I'm getting more every day. It's the normal people, but the good thing is there's a lot of other agencies, media agencies, that are reaching out and wanting to cover us. For example, Gainesville, Sherman, Decatur, Glen Rose, places like that that have never covered us in the past now want season credentials. So they all have seats in the press box, and they'll be here for this game.
Oh, very nice.
That's great news.
So we got bumped by Al Jazeera, right?
You guys actually, and this is, take this for whatever it is, you guys actually, you guys always have seats up there. We'll make room for you guys anytime. But you guys got bumped because there are actually 14 NFL scouts already requested credentials for this game.
Well, yeah, wow. We've already got tickets anyway, so we're good. Yeah, that's
awesome. I'm assuming Lance Dunbar might be part of the reason for that.
This would be a good game. If Lance wants to have a good game, this would be a good game for him to have a good game in, because, like I said, 14, I told Brian before here, that's almost half the NFL teams being represented at the
wow.
stadium this weekend.
That's great.
Of course, one of the chatters had to throw in that this quarterback for U of H might be getting a couple looks as well.
I've heard he might be pretty good. when they request credentials from me, they don't tell me who they're coming to see, so we're just going to say it's Lance.
Well, I bet you Hank and George are going to be excited that they're actually going to have a real roof on them, and they're not going to be broadcasting
from a tent.
A tent at the top of the stadium. For those of you that couldn't make it to the game, It was the most sad situation where they were broadcasting underneath a tent while it's raining on top of the stadium.
Even for those who were able to listen to it, I think George was George and Hank were very clear in their disdain for their conditions at FIU.
And I'll tell you something else, Eric, because I tried my best to take pictures out there, and of course it was raining, that didn't help. But the lighting in that place is not good. And that's one of the things I'm really excited about this new stadium is that we're finally, because Fouts, it was just, you know, horrific at times, but we're finally going to, and this is according to RV, I haven't seen it with my own eyes, but the lighting in this new stadium is like really, really bright, which is going to be
cool. Yeah, they were actually testing it tonight. When I walked in the stadium, I saw them down on the field with their meters testing it. You know, I've been to several practices inside the stadium this fall, either early in the morning or late in the evening, and typically for those practices, they're running the lights at half power, and it's still brighter inside the stadium at half power than it was at Fouts at full power. Brian can give you the exact numbers on foot candle powers, but I know at Fouts Field, some of the numbers were in the 20s and 30s, and for broadcast television, it's mandatory to be at 50, and for nationally televised games, they want it to be at 75.
Wow.
Well, that's good to hear. Guys, really appreciate it. We've been talking to Eric Capper, the Sports Information Director at the University of North Texas, and Brian Bethea, who is the Associate Athletic Director in charge of facilities.
And logistics.
That's right. That's what it said. We really appreciate you guys being on. I know a lot of people are excited, and we're trying to, you know, everybody's got to understand this is all new. Everything's going to be changing. It's going to be dynamic until you start trying to squeeze all the cattle into the cage. You know, it's just... it's going to be a crazy situation. So, you know what? Give yourself plenty of time.
We appreciate what you guys do, and believe me, we know that you guys are key in helping educate the process. It's going to be a learning curve for all of us. None of us really know what to expect until we go through a game here. So we're kind of in the same boat that a lot of people are, and just kind of we're just going to make the best out of any situation that we possibly can. So,
and the best,
we're happy to answer any questions. We hope we cleared up some things here. I'll give you Brian's cell phone number. Anybody can call Brian if they want to.
Hey, Eric,
not do that.
Is there anybody that's going to be maybe tweeting? Are you going to do any tweets or anything as far as game day, you know, traffic or anything like that? Is there anything going to be updated if somebody's driving in, there's traffic stuck, and they want to know, is it going to be on Facebook, or is there any plans to do that?
Well, I know that we are going to be monitoring that pretty heavily, and those of you who have followed the football team much at all knows that my staff does the Green Gang blog. David, and Ryan, they manage the Green Gang blog, and then of course the Facebook and Twitter stuff on Mean Green Sports. That's actually monitored by the marketing and promotion staff. Both of those will be monitored very heavily, and we're all going to be here early, and that's going to kind of be the charge. So obviously, if there are issues, we will be aware of those issues as we're monitoring those. And then we will pass on as much information as we possibly can and make sure that we are able to respond to whatever issues we can get that way as well. But the ticket office is always a great place to call and get any clarification on stuff.
Well, we're hoping that they won't have a lot to do because most tickets will already be sold.
Hopefully they're really busy, but I think they're always pretty good at being able to answer the phone on game day, that's for sure.
Hey, let me say this. Eric, Brian, from an alum and a fan, thank you for all of your dedication and hard work to get us to this point. I mean, this is a real exciting time for us, but I know it is for you as well. And we really appreciate you, you know, taking the time to visit with us tonight.
We're happy to do it anytime. You guys just let us know, and we're sorry we bumped Brett Rito back a little bit on tonight, but hopefully he can still get in. And
he's a night owl.
To your blog.
He's a night owl. He'll be all right.
Yeah,
I'm sure he will. He's just getting to work a few hours ago.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right.
All right, thanks, guys. Appreciate it, and good luck with the rest of the week, and we'll see you soon.
Thanks, guys.
Y'all take care. Well, that was fun.
That was good. That was good stuff. Of course, you know, Eric's been really accommodating for us and giving us access and getting us information and everything which has really been nice. And those guys have been really working hard. I mean, you know what's going to happen, and we've seen it all over the board, is people are you still broadcast?
Well, I'm going to call Brett.
Oh, okay. You see it all the time that people, there's going to be complaints on Monday. I mean, there's just no way around it. You're going to have problems here and there. But for those of you that don't know, you know for sure that we know for sure that these guys have been up there every night late trying to get all this stuff ironed out. It's just going to be crazy. Just like Tacy said on here earlier, you have one real way across 35 there, and that's how people are supposed to exit. So what I say is just drive across the lawns of the people in the Dina neighborhood. No, I'm just kidding. You know, there is some back roads you can take over there. So anyway, that's one other thing. All right, we're going to try to keep this under an hour. An hour is a good long show. We got Brett on the phone here, and let me see if I can get him on right now.
You guys with all the damn basketball questions can start asking Brett some of those.
Yeah, ask Brett. Brett's the basketball guy. Those guys were worried about getting people in there and generators and all that stuff. Brett, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, can you hear us okay?
Yeah, I hear you guys.
Well, that was a good transition since it was a complete train wreck before we started. Brett, we just talked to Brian and Eric. First of all, we got Brett Vito on here. He's the
Denton Record Chronicle,
the beat writer for University of North Texas. Brett, how long you been doing this gig?
10 years.
I'm trying to think. I was around for the second.
Corky Nelson?
No.
Trip to the New Orleans Bowl. So it would have been 04, I think.
Yeah, so you've been there 10 years.
Would have been 03.
So
yeah.
you've made it longer than most of the athletic department staff. So
yeah, I kind of never intended it to be that way, and then I kind of got here, and my wife got a good job, and the industry kind of went down the tubes as far as, like, you know, people moving around and stuff, and yeah, I just ended up staying. It's been, you know, it's been great most of the time.
Very
well,
nice.
We're glad to have you.
Yeah, we appreciate it. So, Brett, give us your thoughts of we'll backtrack a little bit here. We've been talking about the stadium with them, but let's talk about FIU. What did you think of their team?
You know, I mean, FIU is pretty good. You know, and when I saw the schedule come out and I saw that they were opening with FIU, my immediate thought was, oh, geez. You know, it's kind of – things just have not kind of played out very well for North Texas the last couple of years. And it seems like everything that's kind of could gone wrong has gone wrong, you know. And I just saw that, and I'm like, man, that's going to be a tough, tough game. And it turned out to be that way. And it just – it's kind of your perfect storm. You've got – you know, first game for a new coach. You got your first game for Derek Thompson since his leg got practically snapped in half. You got a young team. FIU's loaded. You know, you go down there and, you know, you always expect that things are going to take a while to shake out, and then they just jumped on him for 28, and it was kind of cruise control after that. So, you know, it is what it is. And the thing that I think is interesting is I think it just brought everybody kind of back to reality a little bit. And I don't blame people for being super excited about a new stadium and a new qualified coaching staff and a great head coach that everybody likes. But I think when the further you get away from the end of last season and the more you start thinking about all the good things that are happening, I think you kind of gloss over the problems that you knew were there originally. I think this kind of brought everybody back to some sense of reality of where the program's at. At least that was my impression.
Well, Brett, how good is FIU? I mean, for me, just limited of what I saw, I felt like they're a pretty damn good team.
Yeah, you know, I think they really are a good team. I bet you it'll be them and Troy for the conference title, you know, and I just think FIU's probably the best team in the league at this point. I mean, you look at what they've got on paper. I mean, their quarterback was the freshman of the year in the SEC, for Christ's sake. You know, and then they've got a ton of talented guys there, you know, just all across the board. You know, T.Y. Hilton's going to get drafted, and he just lit North Texas up. And, you know, you look back on it, and you can kind of see it coming for the last couple of years. I know some beat guys, and I haven't talked about it in the league for a long time, you know, they recruited really well out of Florida and out of Miami and kept landing all these three-star players and guys that had offers from BCS schools outside the state. And everybody always says, oh, well, that's a bunch of hooey. It doesn't really matter what recruits are ranked and that kind of thing, unless you're putting it on posters in your for your basketball team. Then it seems to matter. But, you know, it matters across the board. And they stacked up that talent for years and years and years. They're well coached, and, you know, it's all kind of come together for them. And I think that's kind of the path North Texas hopes it'll fall. They start landing some, you know, highly ranked, highly regarded sought after recruits and start building up some talent. You know, you hope they, North Texas can follow the same path, but you know, I just think they're a pretty good team.
Okay, so you were at the post game press conference, you know, after the rain and everything else. Did you get a feel for how Bacarney appeared? Was he defiant? Was he accepting? Was he, I mean, is there any way to describe how he came across after experiencing? I mean, he's not used to losing games like that. Coming from Florida, I mean.
No, he's not. But, you know, I think he was really realistic when he came in here. You know, I think there's always that sense of disappointment because, I mean, deep down, I'm sure he and the rest of the coaches and the players were, you know, thinking, you know, hoping and thinking, you know, hey, maybe we can go in here and shock the world. And he said, you know, we're going to go in here and try our best to shock the world. But I think realistically, this guy's been around long enough to know that he was going in there in just a pretty bad situation with where the program was and what kind of team he was taking in there. So I think he was very defiant, saying, you know, we're not going to accept this. We're going to work to make this better. But I think he kind of knew going in that there was a distinct possibility that something like that could happen against a team like FIU.
Okay, so we got big game against U of H coming up to open the stadium. U of H knocks off UCLA, you know, very talented team. What do you do with this game? I mean, I'm not going to ask you for a prediction because I know the answer to that. But what's a win for North Texas in this game against, you know, with the opener and against such a good team like Houston?
Well, I mean, I just, you know, from the player's perspective and the coach's perspective, I think you just have to go into it swinging. I mean, you got nothing to lose. I mean, yeah, you know, it's your home opener and you want to represent well, things like that. But really, I mean, outside of the people that are just way over the top, you know, homers and are not looking at it from a realistic perspective, nobody expects North Texas to win this game. You got nothing to lose. I mean, go out there. You throw everything that the kitchen sink at them. I mean, you come after Case Keenum, you blitz them, you try to force some turnovers and get them out of their comfort zone a little bit. You try to get Lance Dunbar going, and you just throw everything at them and see what happens. You know, and if they can pull a few big plays and build a little confidence in what they're doing going down the line, I think that would be the – you know, outside of them just shocking the world and winning that game, I think that would be a really good thing for them to have happen. That and get Lance Dunbar going, because quite frankly, I mean, with what they've got offensively, skill position-wise and offensive line-wise, I mean, I've made kind of the funny analogy of the fighting spork, you know. I mean, they're just kind of going to battle with a lot of proven guys and a lot of people that have done anything. And, you know, I just think if you can get some kind of confidence and some kind of something going, and especially get Lance Dunbar going since he's your one proven offensive guy, I think that's your best outcome. I mean, if Lance could break a couple of long runs, get 100 yards, and maybe get some confidence going with that offensive line, I think that would be an ideal outcome outside of the unexpected of them to, you know, somehow, you know, keep it close and maybe win the thing.
Yeah, that's what, you know, we were really wondering what that offensive line was going to be able to do. Were they going to be able to create any openings for him? But we felt like that defensive FIU was pretty strong. And, you know, Houston doesn't exactly have the quickest, best defense. I mean, they've got a great offense. It's going to score a lot of points. But hopefully we can open up some holes there. What is that offensive line going to have to do? I mean, you saw what they did the other day, or I mean, with J.J. Johnson getting hurt the other day, what are we looking at on both sides of the line?
I don't know. That's the one thing. You know, McCartney's not, you know, he's one of those guys that doesn't talk about injuries. I mean, a lot of coaches, they'll walk in the first thing in a press conference and say, hey, here's our injury report. This guy's out. This guy's questionable. This is what happened to this guy. This is what happened to that guy. I think McCartney just kind of considers that scouting information, the more power to him. I mean, whatever he wants to do, as long as they're consistent about it, and he just doesn't talk about injuries. Now, we know that his hand / arm, you're always safe with arm because that's from shoulder down, but he had x-rays after that game. And, you know, North Texas has got some really qualified people over there in training and athletics, you know, and doctors and things like that. I don't think they're going to x-ray the guy's arm if they don't know that something in there is probably pretty is probably broken. Now the question is whether they wrap it up and let him play. I don't know. Wild guess. I mean, the thing you hear is that he might be out this week, probably out this week. Maybe he's back next week. I mean, since you had got Albam after that, I don't know why you don't sit him a couple of weeks and then bring him back if you think that's going to help anything. A lot of times it's broken bones and stuff. It's not really going to help to sit him out any longer anyway. But I'll be real interested to see what they do because it's going to be awfully tough. JJ's one of their better players. And if they take him out for that game, then that means you've got to move Aaron Fortenberry into center. And Aaron's a good player, and he's got some experience, but he's not the oldest guy out there. He hasn't played the most. And he certainly has. He did play the last nine games in there last year, but he was practicing a tackle this year. And then all of a sudden you're looking at you've got him with freshmen on either side, and then you're playing, you know, then you're looking at playing another young offensive lineman on the outside. And that may be what they're looking at, and that can be a little – that could be a little dicey. JJ's a really good player, and you start taking experience and starts and that kind of thing out of there, that could be a problem for them.
Okay, Brett, we're going to shift gears on you here. We had the big news in basketball with the Patton, confirmation. I mean, it's been out there for a month, but to get the confirmation was nice. Can you talk about that a little bit? Have you had a chance to talk to the kid? Can you give people the latest and greatest on the patents? I guess it's signing. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. That was like the worst kept secret in the history of North Texas basketball. I mean, the thing is, you know, the kid, I think he put up on his Facebook page and he, you know, some kids Twitter. So he Twittered it and, you know, Facebooked it and put it up. You know, I mean, everybody knew he was here. It's just that a lot of times with situations like this, you got to wait until it all gets cleared through everything, and you don't want to until they want to confirm it and say that they're comfortable saying that he's here. And finally they got to the point where they say, okay, well, he, you know, everybody signed off on it. And since he's coming from another Division I school, I can understand why they wanted to do that. But they finally, everybody signed off and said, yeah, okay, we're comfortable with this now. He's here. Everything's going through, and I just think it's a great gift for them. I don't know what – I just think it shows tremendous hustle on the part of Johnny Jones and his staff, who, you know, I think a lot of, and those guys are clearly, you know, one of the best batches of – you know, Johnny's one of the best coaches they've had here, you know, ever. And, you know, his staff shows a lot of remarkable hustle. You just think about all the players that they've gotten in the last minute that fell through somewhere else with Josh White, with – you know, Tristan was kind of a late sign that they got because I think he was one where there was a snowstorm, so he couldn't get to where he was going to visit at Wichita State, or there was a coaching change or something like that, and they got him at the last minute. They got Ked at the last minute. And this is another one of those last-minute guys. Now, I know that everybody's going to say, well, it's the slack where he averages, but he averaged like 13.5 points and 7.1 rebounds a game in the SWAC. I don't know how much better the Sun Belt is than the SWAC. So theoretically, you're snagging one of the better players out of another league and plugging them in is a real neat spot because you're not real deep in the true post-post area there. You've got Alonzo Edwards back, and you've got Kedrick Hogan's back, and we all know what Ked can do. But both of those guys had knee problems last year. So now all of a sudden you manage to grab a 6'7 guy who can rebound, he can play. From all accounts, he's a good guy, maybe a bit of a leader. And he's a senior, so he's been out there and played before on the college level, which is going to be great for a team that doesn't have a lot of guys that have played on the college level extensively before, because I think you're going to see a pretty young and inexperienced lineup here. So this guy fits just every need you could possibly imagine across the board. I can't imagine how they could have gotten somebody who would have fit their needs much better than that guy. So I think it's just a terrific get for them.
All right, Brett, well,
we appreciate your information as always. We will see you out there Saturday.
Brett, let me ask you, do you have to show up to get a prime position in the press box to get your parking pass? How's that working out with this new have you been up there yet?
Yeah, I've been there. I mean, you know, everybody likes to joke about, oh, is Brett going to get a parking pass or not? You know,
we had about five people ask that question in the chat room tonight, so that everyone's really concerned.
No. I have trudged like a mile and a half at LSU in the rain or Alabama. I mean, I don't particularly care whether it's great to get one because you don't have to you don't have to carry all your crap and trudge halfway across campus. But to me, newspaper guys are pretty simple. If you've got a wireless network that works, which in the Sun Belt, surprisingly, sometimes it can be an issue, you know, and, you know, you've got a decent chair, you're not sitting on a bench somewhere or something like that, I'm fine, you know. I don't mind if FIU's announcer is screaming in the same room that you're sitting writing your story in or something like that. As long as you got somewhere to sit and you've got a wireless network that works, you can actually send in your stuff. That's all good by me. And yeah, you know, they were nice enough to give us a parking pass, but they always do that. That's not.
Well, yeah, you just.
Deal.
But you got to admit, it is a huge step up from Fouts.
Oh yeah, I mean, I think the people that are really going to benefit from it are, you know, the fans that were, you know, sitting in the crappy stands or, you know, had a bad view and stuff like that. And granted, I won't have to swat wasps like I used to at the beginning of the year. There used to be all these wasps that were flying around the Fouts Field press box, which is always kind of a funny deal. You see these guys come in from, like, you know, like when Kansas State came in, you know, you see these guys from the Kansas City Star or, you know, these various other, you know, Big 12 people that are going around to the Big 12 venues, and all of a sudden they're sitting in this wasp box with the sun beating in and the air conditioner doesn't half work, and I'm standing, you know, this guy from the small newspaper Denton standing up with the big old wadded newspaper just swacking, you know, wasps on the glass, you know, they're kind of looking around like, you know, what the hell is this?
Oh, yeah, now it's a little more reputable, and of course, you know, it's amazing how the fans in North Texas, we've been criticizing FIU Stadium and its erector set quality, only now because we have a stadium that's actually,
right.
We were the really bad stadium, and now we're cocky about it.
That's right.
So,
well, you know, after everything that UNT fans have endured, you know, more power to them. You know, if they want to say, hey, our stadium's better than everybody else's, for all those people that, you know, sat in Fouts Field and, you know, we've got a nice spot up in the box, even at Fouts Field. I mean, there was a decent chair and a wireless network that worked. I mean, we were all fine. But, you know, you look down at those people that have sat there for, you know, 30 years and have, you know, kind of taken the beating along the way. I think that it's really nice for those people that are really emotionally invested and have been there for a long time. It's just neat to see those people kind of get the payoff at the end, you know. And that was what was fun to write about. When you talk about some of these guys that lost their wedding ring down the porta potty crapper at Fouts Field, you know, and stuff like that, you know, just fun, you know, even stories about the crap that these people have endured, and now they're finally getting to their nice stadium. You know, it's not about the schmoes in the press box that are writing, or whether we get a comfortable chair or a parking pass. I mean, the thing that's really neat about it is to see those people that have really endured kind of get their day.
Yeah, that's
true. I agree.
All right, so everybody, go see Brett's work at meangreenblog.dentonrc.com. And, Brett, tell us real quick, if you've got what are we going to look up between now and game day? Are you you had that great layout on the season and Denton and the new stadium and everything. Everybody really enjoyed that. What are we looking at between now and game day?
Well, actually, I got a fairly decent-sized piece tomorrow on North Texas facing Case Keenum. You know, I pulled some quotes from Houston's end and talked to some guys on the team about, you know, facing him and the challenge that he presents. And, of course, we'll have our regular game day stuff. And then I think I'm probably going to be able to squeeze in a short feature on Matt Tomlinson, who I talked to this week, who's, by the way, maybe challenging for the best beard in the Sun Belt with that crazy punter from Troy that's got the crazy beard, but I think he's an interesting story and one of the guys that now that he had some injuries, he's going to be relied on pretty heavily. So I talked to him and probably squeeze a feature on him this week.
All right,
man.
Brett, we appreciate it. Look forward to talking to you soon again.
Thanks for staying up late with us, too.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me, guys. We'll talk to you later.
All right, Brett. Take care.
All right, that was Brett. It's good to have him on there again. It's always good. You know, we're lucky that he brings it. I mean, he has been covering this program for so long. He knows it better than anybody. So, you know, as much as we give him a hard time, he knows his stuff. And he does a good job.
He does
so
a good job.
We can't complain there.
Absolutely.
So, all right. Well, with that, it looks like, Harry, let me go. The official time is this, 1 hour and 5 minutes.
Awesome.
So this is going to be the lengthy. For those of you that have iTunes and like to download this, can download iTunes. If you're not near your iTunes, you can always go to the website. We have a direct link. Go on your phone, click on the direct link, and it'll start playing on your phone. You can listen to it streaming. So cool. We'll have that up later on this evening, and the iTunes link will be up tomorrow. And with that, we will say goodbye.
Go Mean Green.
Go Mean Green.